The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Live from Bar Canada, the D. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. It's a numbers game. Un partido de números.
Muy bien. Muy bien.
Spanish. Kelly Bidlin, how you doing, man? You good?
I'm good. We've just, you know, you and I have just been here for hours settling in and preparing.
Just sitting here talking and prepping for...
I feel like...
I'm going to tell you this about Las Vegas.
I feel like we haven't done this since F1, so go ahead.
We have not.
Because there's good reason for it.
It is as if the city of Las Vegas wants you to be late for work. It doesn't matter how much time you allot before you have to be somewhere. It's, first of all, it's where I live, too, right? I'm right in the middle of the strip. So the construction of getting out.
It's not just you, though.
Okay, so it continued. So it took forever to just get out of where I am. And then the rest of the way here, typically, I leave enough buffer that I can just, you know, I don't even have to take the freeway. Since we moved to the D, I didn't. But South Point was always freeway. But here, you typically go Dean Martin. They decided to cone it off to a one-way street, one-lane street, pardon me. With zero construction happening simultaneously. So just the cones.
Just the cones. Nothing actually being worked on. I took that same route up today. because the other day, 15 was such a mess because of construction they're doing there. Sorry.
I'm sure this is riveting.
Yeah, I know it's riveting conversation here, but it has been chaos.
But you know, we're of the people. We were almost late. On the show today, so many things. Chris Felica, who apparently is also traveling. We will talk to him about multiple sports. He, of course, from Fox Sports, the Bear Bets podcast. John Legace on baseball. Paul Carr on the Premier League. Lou Finocchiaro. Oh, sweet Lou. Gambaloo with some UFC 300 thoughts. Jason Weingarten from Under a Cloud of Smoke. And Jason Weingarten, no less, will talk about not only his bets, but Jason Weingarten, I'm sure, will have thoughts on, God forbid I ask him about... OJ and about Shohei and anything else under the sun. Let me just say this. We will have later on the show because in case you missed it yesterday, the news of OJ's death came on while we were on with Crack yesterday. I stated the facts and then the next thing out of anyone's mouth was Crack immediately went back into golf. And that's how we treated it, right? Like guilty of this acquitted of this, guilty in civil court of public opinion. And then we moved on. I do think it gives us entree to, for a couple minutes, I think it's like 3 minutes long, play the numbers game classic Nick Bakay story. We will play that later in the show. We'll get Jason's reaction to that.
It's good stuff. I think it encapsulates a lot of people's feelings when it comes to OJ.
Nick Bakay, who was responsible for, among other things, what was the name of that movie? Mall Cop?
Paul Blart
Mall Cop. It's a mouthful.
I think that's it.
That's it. Paul Blart Mall Cop. And so many other things, including he played the voice of the cat in Sabrina the Witch. Anyway, he's behind Bookie also on Netflix. They're shooting season two. So we'll play his old. He's a lifelong Buffalo Bills fan, and he had an encounter with OJ, and it really represents how media had to sort of deal with the conflicts in their head about OJ yesterday. The other thing I brought up Shohei before we get to the Masters here in the Masters update. You know how I come on this show and I'm like, oh, this story, I don't think people are making enough of this story. I think the Shohei thing is the opposite. Like, I am just not nearly as interested in this, the Shohei interpreter betting stuff as most people are, because, and I'll go back to the very first day when the news broke, and we juxtaposed it. We did against Jonte Porter in the NBA. And I remember saying, oh, Jonte Porter, guilty, right? Like, I can see how this is a thing. He doesn't make a lot of money. Okay, the props were manipulated. Shohei, we came on the next day and I was like, listen, those of you who are so convinced that it's Shohei doing the betting and not the interpreter, maybe you're right. Maybe you're right. But I'd like to present a different world in which everyone's just telling the truth here. And that Shohei didn't have anything to do with any of this. And it is a really, it's a case study for, we do this in politics. If you're left, if you're right, it doesn't matter. We have confirmation bias in our heads. That's our flawed human brains, right? And if we get fed information that confirms our pre-existing bias, we latch onto it. If it's something counter to it, we tend to come up with reasons as to why it can't possibly be.
Yep.
And I think the Shohei thing is, we found out yesterday, I mean, the mechanics of the betting were sort of fascinating.
Yeah, $10,
$10 to $160,000 bets. Was it Andy Molitor from the Deep Dive was like, that sounds like a horrible martingale gone wrong. And then Roxy Roxborough was like, so did he think he had an edge on the 160,000 and not so much on the 10?
From the gambling perspective, yeah. I had so many of those internal questions.
So,
right?
Yeah, that was amusing.
Like is $10 your one unit bet? Like, you know what, right. I mean? Did you go to 16,000x on your...
But in the end, everything they have, the interpreter said, even when the bookie Boyer accused him, like, I know where this money's coming from. You're clearly, it's a cover-up. He's like, no, technically I stole from him. Like, so all the evidence suggests that this was not Shohei, and there's no baseball.
Right.
So until you can tell me Shohei Ohtani bet on baseball and was playing games that he either did or did not have a bet on, to me it's a big nothing burger. But Jason will come on and tell me I'm wrong. Maybe. I don't know.
I do think that when we first talked about that story, it was, hey, look, I didn't think anything was going to happen to Shohei from what we knew when it first came out, unless something came out in this federal investigation, right? So I think the feds did a good job, and they said it during the press conference yesterday of, hey, they knew there was a lot of national interest in this story, so they wanted to, you know, clear it up as quickly as they possibly could. And really, made it very clear yesterday that Shohei Ohtani was being treated as a victim and not part of, you know, these gambling allegations that are going on with the other people involved.
All right. First round in the books now at the Masters after it was cut off at the end of the day yesterday. They got more than they thought they would in yesterday. So the weather was, by and large, circumvented, but not completely. But they got it done today. DeChambeau was your first round leader. Bryson DeChambeau at 7-under. Scottie Scheffler, the world number one, at 6-under, was in second place. And neither of those two guys have teed off yet today. They will a little later on. But if we go back to that thing, the last 19 years, Kelly, only the top 10 golfers can win this tournament, the top 10 after the first round. It's DeChambeau, Scheffler, Højgaard, Homa, Max Homa with a 5-under, two strokes back. Davis, Willett, Fox, Pavin and Young. Or there's a big tie, I guess, at 8, right? Pavin, Young.
Yeah, you got a few guys.
A few guys are still on there.
The 2-under.
Connors and Fleetwoods of the world. But that's the list, right? That's it. On as well at 2-under. So it's from that group if you believe in that trend. The only thing I added yesterday... And I texted my buddies about this too, is when Scheffler got to 3-under, I hated myself so much for just abiding by the, oh, well, he's plus 450 pre-flop. That's not good enough. I'm going to wait for him to screw it up in the first round and then do it. Nope. When he got to 3-under, which was at that time 4 behind DeChambeau, I'm like, I can't take it anymore. And I grabbed him at plus 240. So that's the only thing I've added, because the rest of this for me has been a disaster. Because the two guys that I backed are going to have to do work to make the cut today. Matsuyama for real, because he had a 4-over first round. And I believe Brooks Koepka wrapped up his first round at 1-over, if I'm not mistaken.
Let's check that. Brooks is 1-over.
We're in that weird thing where the scoreboard is tough to sort of interpret this morning.
Well, I think we're finally done with round one.
We
did have the oddity when I was driving in where you're listening to guys finishing up their first round while other guys were starting their second round. Yeah, Matsuyama's a disaster with the putter yesterday. And then I saw it with him. I saw it with a couple guys yesterday. Man, it's always the major pressure, I feel like, that it heats up. And, man, some of these guys look like they're chasing. Like, there were a couple times yesterday with Decky hits, misses fairway. He's on the pine straw. And then he's pulling out a wood to go for the green. And I'm like, oh, man, like, what are you doing? And then he's in the water. And they're like, you can compound errors so easily here.
Neiman and Zalatoris, by the way, also in the group that was 2-under, so I should add them to that list of these guys can possibly win this tournament based on that trend. So generally, my tournament boils down to, with Matsuyama and Koepka, well, I shouldn't say Koepka, but Matsuyama definitely, again, he shouldn't say definitely either, but looking like he will not be part of this, I'm relying completely on the Scheffler top 5 pre-flop, the Scheffler in tournament, and the Tony Finau top 10. Tony Finau was 1-under.
Yeah, he was another guy. We wrote up some stuff last night at VSiN.com, just kind of some thoughts. I think Matt Brown, Matt Humans, and myself all contributed. He was one guy that I pointed out, just looking at what he did first round, really good on approach. Thought Finau, I have him in a matchup. You have him in a top 10, right? I think a live top 20 bet or a top 10 bet on him is still really solid. Him and Cantlay, kind of similar rounds yesterday. I think either one you could kind of make a case for in that live top 20 or top 10 market if you wanted to get involved. Really good approach numbers yesterday, like they often do. Just kind of missing a little bit with the putter and off the tee. But both those guys you expect to be better off the tee. Get a couple spike putting rounds in there. They could easily fall into those top 20, top 10 by the end.
Yeah, and Eldrick Tiger Woods yesterday. Tiger, he had 13 holes in yesterday. 13 holes before his round had to stop before they blew the whistle, as I believe Too Short once said. Tiger ended up, he was even after 13, and he ends up giving one back, or actually it was one under, I believe, and then he gave two back this morning.
Yeah.
So he's one over for the first round, which is exactly where Phil is. So a lot of folks played that prop where they thought, you know, the Mickelson number was way too short, and they bet a lot of Phil Mickelson head-to-head against Tiger. At least after the first round, it is even between those two. They are both one over. Obviously, one round of golf perhaps left to determine that, because one of them might miss the cut. Both of them might miss the cut. We'll see. I don't know. Maybe they both make the cut. But right now, that is very much up in the air, the old Phil Tiger prop.
Still awesome to see him out there.
It is.
I'm rooting so hard for that guy to make the cut and be around for the weekend.
As he walks, does a little part of you, every step he takes, goes, oh.
Yeah, but he also looks like he could bench me right now.
Oh, he could totally crush you. And me. I also want to ask Kelly about this NBA theory I had earlier in the week. Revisit that in the last weekend of the NBA. Felica as well next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Tonight you can download the Long Shots podcast for our After the Cut Masters coverage. How many podcasts did you guys do for this tournament? For this tournament?
A lot.
Host Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin dissect the leaderboard, analyze key performances, and discuss the best betting opportunities for the weekend ahead. From the contenders making their move to the surprises of the tournament, our expert panel will provide in-depth insights and strategies to help you bet the Masters smarter. Download the Long Shots podcast tonight at VSiN.com/podcast or whenever or wherever you get your podcast. For continued coverage, check out VSiN.com/masters. VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Boom. Yeah, again, we wrote... there's some stuff written up at VSiN.com from Matt Brown, Matt Humans, and myself for round two and on. And then, yeah, Wes and I will be recording whenever we get done with play today. I know we get a lot of questions on timing, so whenever play ends today, Wes and I will be recording, and it will be up as soon as possible.
A labor of love.
That's right.
We don't want to give any indication to the opposite of that.
All right. Matt Brown, I hope you're enjoying the Masters.
And Matt Brown is today. This is his day. He is president at Augusta, yeah. And he said he's going to follow Tiger around. For at least a little while.
Yeah.
Because he fears it might be the last time. Tiger Woods, who has never missed a cut at the Masters as a professional golfer. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the Bear. He is known to you as such. The host of the Bear Bets podcast at Fox Sports. It's Chris Felica, everybody. Courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well. I'm standing here in Atlanta right now in the airport. Unfortunately, not going to Augusta, but I'm on my way home. I meant to say last time I was on with you, when I was in the Vegas airport, there's a big like billboard and sign for Bar Canada, and you weren't on it. Like,
yeah.
that's a huge miss in my opinion. Like you talk about a great promo for Bar Canada. It should be you and Kelly with the Numbers Game crew there.
Yeah.
Promo in Bar Canada. So might want to get on the promo and marketing people and the Vegas Transportation Committee to really do a better job promoting Bar Canada.
Suggestion box.
There you go.
Yeah, I guess they felt that the promotion of Bar Canada didn't need us, I guess. Yeah. What can you do? What can you do? There we go. Chris Felica always looking out for us. Hey, where are you? You're headed home. Would you like to tell people where you were? Would you like to tell people what you were doing?
Yeah. Nothing major. I was down in Miami the last couple of days. Met with some of the football coaches, which was good to see on Wednesday. And then yesterday there was sports management and such had a big like networking and panel and career advice type deal, and I was fortunate enough to be a part of it with Bobby Marks, who's an NBA insider, and Mike Ryan, who heads up the Dan Le Batard show. So it was fun. And I like doing stuff like that because I was one of them once. And I know you're just kind of looking for a break and looking for advice and figuring out how to get into this racket. So it was good to sit there and talk and tell stories and give advice and offer some assistance wherever I can. It was fun to do.
Good for you, man. Good for you. Let's talk Masters first. There's always multiple sports with you, so we want to get through all of these. Do you agree with me when I texted you yesterday? I'm like, I just took Scheffler plus 240 in game. This tournament's over, I said. Do you agree with that generally?
Yeah, I think if you poll 10 people right now, who's going to win? You give them the leaderboard and you say who's going to win. Like, I would think nine of the 10 would probably say Scheffler, and I think the odds kind of dictate that where they are. And we'll see. But I wouldn't expect Bryson DeChambeau to go out and gain, what, 3.5 strokes on the field with his putter again today. And Scotty got a huge break there on what was it, 13, when he didn't go in the water, and everybody thought he did, and he wound up yeah. making birdie, and that was a great sign. But I would think the price, obviously. But it was funny. I was texting with Humans the other day, too, after I saw that he was Cam Smith, Zalatoris were a couple of guys that he had liked, as did I. And I go, boy, we're weighing these guys down. And I said to him, I go, the funny thing is I think we're all maybe trying to be a little creative and just pick someone other than Scotty, because we don't want to take plus 450 on Scotty, and then we're going to be sitting there on Sunday afternoon saying, hey, now we know why he was plus 450 and we just should have taken it. But 54 holes to play, and certainly there are some Max Homa with a surprise. That was one of the bigger surprises. I mean, as well as DeChambeau played, and he'd never played well at Augusta the last 8 rounds or whatever, been terrible. Homa has been even worse in Augusta. So to see him play well was a good sign. The only thing I got a chance to look at today was just because I was flying in the rounds where it wasn't finished. I did play Zalatoris over Justin Thomas in a head-to-head, and I think they both go off like 145 or something like that, so you still have time to get that in. I mean, Zalatoris is someone who is hurt as he's been. If you look at his career at Augusta, I think with the 9 rounds that he's played, I think he's been inside like the top 15 after every single round. I mean, the guy just loves that golf course. He gave a couple back on 17 and 18 yesterday to fall back to 2 under. I'll take it really kind of be in this thing for a top 5. But I like him over Justin Thomas today. I think it was minus 110 both ways. So it shouldn't be too much different than that, I would think.
Maybe you just answered this, but my last Masters question was going to be, if you had to bet someone right now to win the tournament not named Scotty Scheffler, given the leaderboard, who would it be?
Yeah, it would probably be Zalatoris, just because if he makes putts, and he did for the most part yesterday, he has the ability to reach those par 5 and 2 and make eagle like he did on 13 and just missed another eagle on 15. He can gain strokes on the field on those par 5s, and he had an opportunity to do better. So, yeah, I think it probably would be Zalatoris is only 5 back at Bryson and 4 back of Scheffler right now.
All right, we want to do 60 seconds on each of these, Chris, because I know you're at the airport, can't see the clock. Let's talk soccer. What did you bet this weekend?
The only thing I'm going to bet, I did look at the schedule yesterday after Liverpool. Oh, my God, that was a gut punch yesterday, losing 3-0 at home to Atlanta, so they're up against it and probably going to be knocked out of Europa League. But I'm going to lay 2.5 with Man City against Luton. I mean, City's in a spot now where I think they can see the potential to win the league. They're going to be looking up to make some goal differential up against both Arsenal and Liverpool should they end in a tie with one of those teams. And I think Luton's the perfect opportunity for them to put up a crooked number per se. So as City minus 2.5 against Luton.
All right. UFL, you're following this and you're betting this.
Yeah, no, I am. I played St. Louis minus 1 against San Antonio. San Antonio's 2-0, but they're really, it's miracle type 2-0. Total fluke. They had that Brad Wing fake punt to an offensive lineman week 1. Last week they scored 12 points in the final 48 seconds to come back. It's kind of unsustainable. They're like 4 of 20 on third down this year. The numbers do not back up the fact that they're 2-0. And I think A.J. McCarron, Marcel Aitman, really good offense for St. Louis. I think they'll get the win. And I know People probably are familiar, or maybe you're not, a Birmingham Stallions, two-time defending now spring football champion. They've won 9 games in a row dating back to last year. They're laying 7 against Memphis. But Memphis is a kind of a tricky matchup for them, because if you look at Memphis's box scores, they very easily also could be 2-0. They were on the wrong side of that 64-yard field goal by Michigan week one. That game, they controlled the ball for 39 minutes. Last week, they controlled the ball for 36. Like, they may do a good enough job keeping the ball out of Birmingham's hand and hang within minute 7.
All right, we got 2 minutes here. NFL draft, I feel like, and I might be prisoner of the moment, but I feel like I have fewer bets right now, the grand total of 1, than I did last year or any other year at this time. What have you bet so far, and do you feel that way as well?
Yeah, I've bet more than 1, but it's probably a result of, A, me being in Connecticut and not having access to whatever DraftKings and FanDuel have up right now. But, yeah, a lot of the faraway places don't have as much up as they have in the past. The only thing that I would say right now that I have – there are two things right now that I have that probably are within the playable range still and haven't moved. I would look at the over 6.5 wide receivers in the first round. I got that at plus 139. It's probably a little less right now, because that since then we've had the Buffalo trade, where now it looks like they may be in the market for a wide receiver. So, like, if you look at the mocks, like, Ladd McConkey's moved into the back end of the first round in a lot. My guys, Texas, kind of feel that both A.D. Mitchell and Xavier Worthy are going to go in the first round. So it gets up to 7 pretty quickly if things break right. And then the other thing is, like, the Giants to take a wide receiver, and specifically Roma Dunze. He's someone who they've been connected with, and I know that player team matchup was available out there in faraway places. It's somewhere around plus 375 or so, I think it was. So those are two things that are still kind of in the plus range that I would consider looking at. And then I was having a conversation with very prominent ANG follower on Twitter, Trip Tepper, who tweets the show a lot, and he's a really good, sharp handicapper in himself. And he and I were going back and forth, and he's like, are we really sure that J.J. McCarthy is going to go in the top 5? And like, is this a Will Levis thing all over again? Because you can get J.J. McCarthy at good plus money over 5.5. So that might be something else that Trip has talked me into.
Chris, beautiful spot. Appreciate it as always, man. Safe travels.
Take care, guys. I'm boarding now. Be well. I'll listen on the flight home.
Chris Velika, boarding. Seems to know something about that Giants Roma Dunze thing, by the way. It's a man in the know. I would read between the lines on that. Coming back, Instant Offense with John Legaisa next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Listen, just make sure that Max Homa doesn't win this tournament. You know what I mean? For a limited time, we're offering 2 weeks of our exclusive betting splits for free. Just sign up at VSiN.com/splits. The VSiN betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 5 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money does not match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/splits now to claim your free 2-week access to VSiN's betting splits. Don't strike out on potential winnings. Visit VSiN.com/splits and start making smarter bets today. You can tell I have like a generational trauma. It's really true. Behind all of these comments.
There are some comical names like that are under par. What if Danny Willett just wins this thing again? What if?
Well, we have a tweet. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Good Juju Juicy says, let's say I'm rooting for Willett here on out. He made a bet. Oh, man. He has Willett at 1,000-1.
I mean, I don't know if you caught it on the broadcast yesterday, but when he was going low, I was like, I wonder what Danny Willett's been up to. I don't even know it. Like, apparently he just got like shoulder surgery last fall, and like he's barely played.
Brad Billups, when are you and Kelly jumping back into betting the Masters? After the first round or after the cut? How far back would you go, even or one over? I bet Scheffler in the middle yesterday.
Yeah, great. I mean, it's a great question. It's a question we keep getting. We were texting. I was like, I think I thought about it about 5 times. And once you think about making a bet like 4 times, you don't bet it, then you hate yourself.
Yeah.
So I think you made the right call. I think if you're just talking outright market, it's really hard for me to suggest getting involved right now with who's at the top of that leaderboard, specifically Scottie Scheffler. I think that's why we brought up some of those names first segment. Tony Finau, Patrick Cantlay, right. Some of those guys live top 20s. I think that's a better bet to make right now. I won't be doing anything till after today, though.
And again, it's not a catch-up course. It is not a course from which you come from way behind to win it. Finally, hump day hockey. Quick math. You said Tiger has never missed a cut at the Masters as a pro. This is Matt Brown's first Masters. If Tiger misses the cut, it's Matt Brown's fault. Yeah, sounds like
I think that's fair.
Clean math to me. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the microwave. He's Vinny Johnson. He's instant offense. He's John Legesa, everybody. He joins us now courtesy of the Progressive guest line to talk baseball with us. Johnny, how you doing, man?
My boy, good to see you. Gil, I cannot believe in just my short half lifetime how far golf has come. It's so prominent in young crowds and betting crowds now. The only time golf was ever on the TV was, you know, my grandfather had his feet up on the recliner and he was snoring over the audio.
Here's what I said about golf betting for years on this show, and I still maintain this. It is the sport most ripe for a betting revolution. Now, some prominent offshores are too scared to even put them up in tournament, though. So maybe I'm wrong. Like, until that happens, I don't know that we could say this. But for those of us who have bet, you know, for way too long in our lives, there was a world sports exchange model offshore back in the day. You can basically there's no other sport that has a pool of players over this long of a period of time, 4 whole days, where you can essentially treat everybody like their own little stock market. And there is no end to the amount of betting options that could exist in this sport versus any other, just by nature of the sport itself. And so we'll see. I just feel that way about golf. By the way, I should mention, John, for God's sakes, I didn't give your street cred. Corked Stats Podcast, MLB and NFL writer for The Athletic. You can follow him on X, on Twitter, at John Legesa. That's LAGHEZZA. Lagheza. But you also have a Substack. If everybody wants to find out what you're doing, isn't that where they go?
Yes, I finally took some good advice and streamlined the Tasmanian Devil. Everything is in one place. And I made it really cheap, and you guys know me. I work really hard, but we can't guarantee bets are going to win. But I can guarantee I'm going to save you some time. Gil, I'm going to give you a sneak peek. It's everything. It's stats. They're split. My famous starting pitcher sheets. I run the algorithm. You get algo scores, full game, NF5, starting pitcher ranks, implied team totals, which is funny. That was a thing if you saw my note at the end, and it kind of ties into the golf betting thing. We're even seeing an expansion in the offerings for baseball because I do implied team totals. Certain books are now doing the highest scoring team for a day, and it has a little bit of a feel of playing a golf ticket, right, where you're not – you know, the odds are high, plus 15 to 1, plus 20 to 1, where maybe you're splitting your risk and playing it more like a roulette board. And we've had a lot of success because it's a perfect overlap for work I was already doing.
All right. And so if people want to – that's great. People are like, okay, well, where do I go? Where do they go? Should they just
right
go to your Twitter?
The pinned tweet. Okay. Right on Twitter. It's Substack. Everything is my name.
Gotcha.
You Substack my name, Twitter my name. Just yell out the window, hey, Paulie, and I'll probably answer you.
All right. Well, let's go through a couple baseball bets that you have today. By the way, for those of us who have – oh, a little breaking news. Kentucky, much rumored. It is happening. They're hiring Mark Pope to be their next head coach. BYU's former coach now. Congratulations to Mark Pope, who is now the new head coach at the University of Kentucky. And by the way, for me, my only two Final Four bets, if you remember, or to win it all, were Alabama and BYU. Why? Much of that reason was because I find that Nate Oates and Mark Pope were the best coaches analytically in the country. They played basketball a way that they knew they could hack the system with three-pointers, a volume of three-pointers. And so I think that's a great hire. I know there's a lot of people who wanted a bigger name. I think it's a fantastic hire for the University of Kentucky. Okay, back to your baseball today. For those of us who have my Guardians bet, most wins in March and April, this is like the American League Division Series or American League Championship Series of this bet going against the Yankees for three-game set in Cleveland this weekend. What did you land on today?
All right, I like the snakes with shapes on their back. Give me the Diamondbacks out in Arizona today hosting the Cardinals. This is probably a great example of a good place to find edge and how we find it early in the season, where we get the push and pull of what's real, what's not, what kind of carryover will we get from the year before. And then just people kind of using composite stats, which you should avoid. Again, I pop the hood for you, right? I'll do all the dirty work so you don't have to. It's Steven Matz on the road against Brandon Pfaadt. Steven Matz, people see a 3.67 ERA, But all the indicators are full run worse. You don't get any whiffs, 14 K minus BB, way too much contact, not getting ahead. He doesn't win around the edges, so you get a ton of foul balls. And he's really struggled against righties, which is not great for a lefty. Flip side, Brandon Pfaadt, people see the 5.6 ERA, 1-4 whip. That's the mistake, though. Remember, this was a rookie who got called up. He got blown up. He got demoted. They corrected things. He came up, and he's been excellent. This is a top-flight pitching prospect. You want to look at the work since he's come up, and he's been absolutely dominant. And then to the short set, right? I don't want to just start quoting a few innings from this year. But once you get that move you were looking for, he's been fantastic. Again, forget the ERA. All the indicators are in the 27% K to only 2% walk, 16 swinging strike, sub 29% ball. He doesn't walk anybody. So I think we have a clear edge on the pitching side and the hitting side. To be honest, I really just have a misprice. Hopefully I'm not regretting this one come the afternoon. The Diamondbacks are probably the best left-handed hitting team in the league as a team, batting 301, top three in homers, top three in OPS, number one in K rate and swinging strike, top three in in-zone contact, top three in team WOBA. Gotta love all that. I think they have a great shot of getting to Mets. Then you look at the flip side. We're still waiting for the Cardinals offense to work up. They wake up. They might be the worst right-hand hitting team in the league, batting 227 with a 284 OBP, 6% walk, bottom five chase rate, single-digit barrel, and a 281 team WOBA. I do have the F5. I want to be clear because the Cardinals bullpen does have a lot of swing and miss. I don't want to get into a punching match with them. Diamondbacks have had some struggles at the end. But I think through five in the race to 15 outs, I think we got him by a mile. I was really surprised to see this at minus 120. I have it at more like minus 155, 160, which is where I think it'll close.
All right, Diamondbacks first five for Legesa. That's the first one. The second one is a prop for the day.
Yeah, and it goes shameless, you know, self-promotion incoming, people. But I was already doing this implied team total work because it's very useful to look for game totals, but also if people do props or daily play with player stuff. So I had already done the work. It's not like I was adjusting this to a new market. The market came after the work. So you really just compare my team totals to the board. I've got the Reds modeled for a half a run above the field. They're going off at 13-1. So similar to a golf board, like I was saying before, you cut down your risk, right? If you're betting a full unit or 1.25 to win one on the Diamondbacks, you'd probably bet a tenth of a unit or a quarter of a unit on the Reds, but this one's got all the makings to just run away from them. They're going up against the gun show, Chris Flexen. I mean, some of these guys, you wonder how these guys are getting jobs, as if last year was bad enough, nearly 7 ERA, nearly 2 whip, over 900 OPS. Comes out this year, it's more of the same. He just misses, the ball rate's over 38. It's just really, really rough. And Cincinnati, when they get a hold of stuff, they could be really good. Their bugaboo is the strikeout. But I think you got the wrong guy here. Flexen's really not caning anybody. So you got Cincinnati against righties. Man, top three pull rate, top three hard hit rate, and they run, which is something you and I were talking about last year in terms of adjusting our betting styles and models. You have to account for the running. When you turn your back as a right-hand pitcher on the Reds, they're running. So 324 OBP, 250 BA, let's go. Give me the Reds' highest scoring team. And that White Sox bullpen is also atrocious. You know, I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the dumpster fire at the back end. Outside of Michael Kopech, who's fantastic. But if you get Kopech, we probably lost. That's just what it is. 13% walk rate. They've had five losses already. So, yeah, give me the Reds to run up the score tonight.
John Legesa, everybody. If your Yankees could lay down this weekend, I'd appreciate it.
Yes, they're not that good.
Legesa. A little more passion next time, okay?
Clark Schmidt's getting beat up today. He's getting beat up today.
There you go. John Legesa, everybody, right here on a numbers game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network. Paul Carr with Premier League picks as the betting cavalcade continues next on a numbers game.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
An action-packed fight card has taken over Las Vegas this weekend for UFC 300. And DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of UFC, is giving new customers a shot to turn $5 into $150 instantly in bonus bets with any UFC 300 bet. Download the app and use promo code VSiN when you sign up. DraftKings Sportsbook, the crown is yours. Skill Alexander, we get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. I do mean that sincerely. This is from Colin Murphy. Colin Murphy said, if Odunze is going to the G-Men, which is what Felica just told us, that he thinks it's a good bet at a juicy plus 340, I have heard several compelling cases for the Titans to go with a wide receiver. And Malik Nabers to go seventh is a very juicy 15-1 at certain spots. So let me just address that, Colin. The only bet that I made is the Jaguars to pick a cornerback first. Got it at even money, plus 100. The other bet that I was thinking of making that very same day was the Titans to draft a wide receiver with their first pick. But as I was thinking about betting it, I then thought to myself, okay, of all the positions yes. this team needs, why would they draft a wide receiver? Like, I get that there's buzz. I'm not disagreeing with you that there's buzz.
There is buzz.
There is
I've heard
buzz
the same. Yeah.
To find that whatever it is. But, like, they have DeAndre Hopkins and Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, Hopkins, who they brought in last year. Ridley this year.
Traylon Burks. Right. Not to mention, by the way, my man with the two names.
Westbrook
Akine. Right. Of all the positions, isn't that the last position they should be drafting?
I would sure think so, Gil.
Because they have needs at offensive tackle, defensive line, linebacker, everywhere else. They're going to draft a wideout?
I'd be a little surprised. But I've heard the same buzz.
So I thought about it because I heard the same thing. I'm like, well, it's a number and everybody's talking about it. It must be true. And then I'm like, this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Nabers, I bet fifth overall. I bet that is one of the bets I have is for him to go fifth overall to the Chargers. I mean, the bet's technically fifth overall, so right. Maybe things happen. But Chargers, who just traded away wide receivers, right?
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we hemmed and hawed about Masters pre-flop bets for the better part of a week. And as it turns out, Paul Carr might be smarter than all of us. Paul Carr joins us courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. He's from True Media Networks and, of course, the host of the Expected Value podcast from Topeka, Kansas. Not dead center, middle of the country. A couple hundred miles away from dead center, should be pointed out, as we learned last week. How you doing, Paulie?
I'm good. Bryson DeChambeau, first round leader, plus 1,800. Cash that. What, this golf betting's hard or something?
But I think there's some betting wisdom. So we listen, because of the nature that we have content, we must fill the content. We must speak about these things. You know, sometimes we're right. Sometimes we're not. Hopefully we're more right than we're wrong. You, though, were smart. Were you? How long into the tournament yesterday did it take for you to bet DeChambeau?
One hole. He birdied one. And, you know, I wanted something on the first round. So which is kind of like, well, maybe it's one of those days. Remember the Bryson DeChambeau of, you know, a few years ago, who could just like torch any course on the day?
Yes.
So it was kind of like, well, maybe it's his day. Let's throw a little bit on that.
Well, so no, there's going to be people listening to this who are like, oh, he just got lucky. How did he know he's going to go seven?
Kind of.
Okay, kind of, but not really, because it's the equivalent of any in-game wager, right? You had one hole. So he was one under. You had that stroke already in your favor.
Right.
And because of just what you said, right, because we remember a time not long ago at all where we like, oh, this dude could absolutely destroy this course. That, with that little nudge,
right,
might have just been is more of a plus EV bet than anything we discussed outside of Scheffler.
Kind of a Malcolm Gladwell blink sort of thing.
Yes.
You know, it's your gut reaction. There's some history. There's something behind it. You know, it's not just out of nowhere. It's a guy who has shown the capability of doing this before. So again, I'm not going to say this was like a brilliant handicap
right,
or anything like that.
But there's some wisdom in it. Yes.
There's worse ways to do things. Let's say it that way.
That's a beautiful way of putting it. If for people who would crap on that, there are worse ways to do things.
And please hit me up on Twitter. If you're the guy who's been the Bryson DeChambeau fan who's been having to hide for like 4 years now, like let me know.
I told you.
I was thinking about you all day yesterday.
I told you it would come on. Okay, now on the flip side, Paul, you were on a bit of a tear in the old soccer. And then the Champions League hit us this week. What happened there?
It's funny. The previous round, like the unders, 7 out of 8 unders hit in the first legs. So it seemed like that was kind of the trend. And it wasn't just this year. The last few years had kind of been that way. So I was under heavy in the first rounds this week, and I think all the overs hit. So over three midweek on Champions League. We'll reevaluate, put ourselves back together, and come back next week looking to do better.
Yeah, the total specifically, right? That was the one under 2.5. It was like 2-1 in a blink. I was like,
right.
Oh, my
right.
God.
I had a horribly scheduled dentist appointment and missed the first half. So come back, check my phone, and there's like 112 goals. And I was like, oh, well, there we go.
I hope the dental work went okay. What'd you get done there, Paul?
It went much better than the bets. Just a routine checkup.
Okay. All right. Premier League, back to your bread and butter this weekend. You got a couple tomorrow. You got one on Sunday. Let's start with tomorrow. And I see a total right out of the chute.
Total out of the chute. We're at the point in this Premier League season where if you can get over 2.5 on pretty much any game and anywhere close to even money, I think I would jump on it. So that's what I'm doing here. This is really the lowest scoring game of the week from the projections. Nottingham Forest, Wolverhampton, over 2.5. I got it minus 120. It's probably closer to minus 130 most places now, which I think is still okay. Again, we've talked a little bit about how this Premier League season is just higher scoring for a variety of reasons. On average, about 10 more goals per team this
Amazing.
Season.
Amazing.
So over 2.5 close to even money, you just got to jump on, I think. You got a couple teams. You know, Forest is fighting to stay out of relegation. Chris Wood is a veteran guy who's scored in 4 straight games. He's kind of filling in for some injuries for Forest. Wolverhampton only has a couple away shutouts all season. They're not as good defensively or as intentional about their defense as they have been the last couple of years. They also score in about 3/4 of their road games. So I think we get, you know, 3 goals one way or the other in this game. Forest, Wolverhampton, over 2.5, minus 120 was my price.
What'd you get there, Paul? A cleaning, a whitening, a root canal, a cavity? What happened there?
Just a routine checkup. All good. All right, got just good teeth. No cavities yet in my life, so still got that going for me.
For your life? Never even as a kid?
Yeah. Nope.
Oh, Paul, I'm in that group, too. I'm in that group. I've never had one. Nobody ever believes me.
I think you're both due, as they say. You're both due.
I brag about it. I brag about it enough that I'm past the point of jinxing it. But yeah, whenever it happens, I'm going to get a lot of people.
Who he are brags about it.
Happy about it.
All right. I like it when you have a draw. You have a draw on Saturday, too, tomorrow.
No, I love a draw when it gets around plus 300. This one's not quite there, but I like Bournemouth, Manchester United at plus 290. United's in 6th, Bournemouth's in 12th, but Bournemouth's underlying numbers are actually better this season. United is just such a weird team. They're obviously a big name, so you know they get a little bit of public money in that sense. But they've given up the second most shots in the league this season. The only team to give up more is last place Sheffield United. And United's just been really lucky on the whole. You know, they got a 2-2 draw against Liverpool last week. They scored on their first shot of the game, which came from midfield because the keeper was out. Ended up getting outshot 28-9, but pulled out a draw. Week before, they lost 4-3 to Chelsea. Should have lost that one. Could have won it, though, because they were up late. They drew at Brentford when they're outshot 31-11. So just a lot of results going United's way. I don't think they're as good as their record or their standings are. And Bournemouth's been solid at home. They've won 3 straight there. They're 8th in the standings since the new year, and even a little bit better in expected goal difference. They're playing like a solid mid-table team, which is wild for a team that probably should have been relegated once or twice in recent years. So I like the draw. I think Bournemouth's just a little bit better, but they're at home. United's got that United luck going for them. So plus 290 on the draw.
Yeah, Man U a distant 6th in the on the Premier League table, and Bournemouth 12th, right in the middle of it all. Okay, speaking of that Man U Liverpool match from last week, or from this past week, here Sunday, Liverpool is taking on Crystal Palace. Now, at the top of the Premier League table, Arsenal and Liverpool, 71 points each, with 7 games to play, 7 matches to play. Man City 1 point behind them, also with 7 matches to play. Liverpool taking on Crystal Palace here.
Yeah, so this will be, I like the over here. I think there's going to be goals one way or the other. Liverpool obviously trying not to blink again. So over 3.5 at even money is the price I got. 9 of Liverpool's last 11 games have had 4 or more goals. Again, they're great offensively. Their defense is okay, not great. And Palace is decent defensively, but not against good teams. Gave up 4 to Man City, 3 to Tottenham, 3 to Chelsea, 5 to Arsenal. They do tend to score. They've scored in 14 of the last 16 games. So this feels a lot like a 3-1 Liverpool type of game to me. I think we're going to get goals regardless. So over 3.5 at even money on Sunday.
All right. Nottingham Forest, Wolverhampton, over 2.5 goals tomorrow. Bournemouth, Manchester United, the draw at plus 290. Shop around for that price. That's tomorrow. And then Sunday, Liverpool, Crystal Palace, over 3.5 goals at even money from Paul Carr at Paul Carr on Twitter, C-A-R-R, the Expected Value Podcast. Thank you, Paulie. Congratulations on DeChambeau.
Yeah, have a good weekend.
You too. Paul Carr from Topeka, Kansas, the heartland. You know what I want to do before we talk to Lou about UFC, before we talk to Jason about Shohei and beyond? We got to talk about this guy, Michael Pina from The Ringer, who's an NBA awards voter. He has revealed everything, all his thoughts on his official ballot. We shall review next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.